From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're about to get a clear picture of where California stands financially. Tomorrow morning, Governor Gavin Newsom will unveil his May revision of the upcoming state budget, which will likely include difficult fiscal decisions as the state is expected to be in the red. This is the time at the state capitol when negotiations are hitting an inflection point and a potential budget shortfall means stiffer competition for funding. Alexi Kossoff is the Capitol reporter for the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters, which partners with public media stations across the state. And he joins us now with a preview of what to expect. Welcome back, Alexi.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep, as always, thank you. Okay, so when Newsom first released his budget draft at the beginning of the year in January, it wasn't that bad. It was balanced, even possibly had a small surplus while still pulling from reserves. What has changed over the last 4 months?
Well, things were a little more precarious than that January proposal might have led us to believe. I mean, if you remember last year in the summer, California was facing down a big deficit at that point, tens of billions of dollars, and it actually pulled a lot of maneuvers to get the budget into a good balanced fiscal shape. And so that required cuts across state government. It required, as you mentioned, pulling out of reserves. And there was a lot of work that got into getting the budget in shape. And then now we've had all of this chaos basically in the state's economy since January that's pushed it out of balance again. I mean, we're talking about these on and off tariffs from the federal government, the fires in Los Angeles. I mean, there's just hit after hit after hit. And so it's, you know, a period of great uncertainty now that we're heading into for the budget.
This is a good opportunity for a reminder of why California has such dramatic pendulum swings when it comes to the budget.
Absolutely. So California is what we call a progressive tax system. And so that means that it has much higher taxes on the wealthiest Californians than on the poorest Californians. It's very dependent on income tax revenue for the budget. And so the wealthiest Californians actually get a lot of their income each year from the stock market, you know, capital gains. And when the stock market's doing really well, California does really well. And when the stock market is not doing so hot, California sees those deficit years. And so because of these tariff policies that President Trump has implemented in the last few months, hitting the stock market pretty hard, California is now projecting that we're going to see a big dive in capital gains revenue next year and a deficit as a result.
Is it mostly tariffs, or are there other actions and policies from this new presidential administration, from the Trump administration, that is impacting California's budget?
Absolutely. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are affecting this, including some things that California has sort of done to itself, right? I mean, one thing that's worth mentioning is that healthcare costs are increasing much faster than the state anticipated. California last year expanded its Medi-Cal program, which is the health insurance program for the poorest Californians, to include, you know, immigrants who don't have legal status in California of all ages. And those numbers have actually been much higher than California projected. Prescription drug costs are going up more than the state projected. So actually, California has had to do an emergency infusion of billions of dollars in the last few months to keep the Medi-Cal program solvent. That's not something they expected. So, you know, there's stuff internally here in California, but it's also that picture happening federally. I mean, you know, all of these economic policies that President Trump is adopting have hit California's industries particularly hard because China is our biggest trading partner, and Mexico and Canada are as well, you know, very important to our economy. And so, you know, when we're seeing port traffic down, when, you know, when farmers are losing the opportunity to export their product abroad, when we're not getting those consumer goods into the state and the prices are going up and sales are going down, all of those things are hitting California's economy.
It wasn't that long ago when the state had a record budget surplus, and this was during the pandemic. There was also COVID funding attached to that. Is it also one reason potentially that maybe sustainable funding was attached to funding from the pandemic, which is one-time use?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of what we've seen the last few years in terms of these dramatic swings is sort of an overcorrection in one direction and then the other. You know, California made all of these cuts during the early part of the pandemic because we thought we were going to face this massive budget deficit. Then the economy recovered from the pandemic much more quickly than we expected. And so we had this massive surplus, as you mentioned. And then we kind of overcommitted ourselves. And then we had these deficits again. So it's been this very tumultuous 5 years where we've just swung wildly from one direction to the other. But ultimately now we're kind of entering this period of these operational deficits, meaning that costs are ultimately just growing faster than the revenue that we have as a state. And so some tough decisions are going to be coming due about how do we get ourselves on a long-term sustainable path.
Some people might be surprised by this because it can feel like a juxtaposition. It wasn't that long ago when there was the announcement that California is now the fourth largest economy in the world, but yet we're facing these budget challenges. How can both exist at the same time?
It's a great question. Absolutely. I mean, it's sort of incredible to realize California's budget is like $300 billion a year just from the general fund revenue. I mean, that's just magnitudes of order larger than it was even a decade ago. So yes, there's a lot of money, but California has also committed itself to so many things, including, for example, expanding healthcare access, which is becoming a more and more costly program because of rising medical costs. So it's partly that California is trying to do so much with all of this money. And, you know, there's a lot of constituencies for all of these things. And it's hard after you've committed to, you know, providing financial aid to students and pensions to state workers and, you know, funding for affordable housing and environmental programs to then say, oh, actually, sorry, we have to pull that back. But, you know, now they are really reaching that point where they're going to have to do that.
You mentioned that the budget is largely dependent on the highest earners of the state. How did the wildfires across the Los Angeles area impact this uncertainty now? Because you have a quarter of the state's population in Los Angeles County, and they could defer their tax filings because of these wildfires. And not only that, but also the costs to repair and to fix the destruction and devastation that was caused.
Right. So absolutely on the front end, there is more uncertainty right now about what the budget picture is going to look like because there is this filing, you know, extension all the way until October for Los Angeles County residents. So that means that, as you mentioned, a quarter of all the residents of California aren't having to file yet. Normally, we're doing this revision here in May because we have a better fiscal picture after the April tax deadline. And there's all of this, you know, additional data about what the income tax revenue is looking like. So now it's going to be based more on projections, more on estimates than usual. And that means, you know, a bigger chance for, you know, a sort of a swing and a miss and a bigger deficit maybe even than we were expecting. You know, the other element you mentioned is obviously the cost of cleanup and stuff like that. California is still not gotten any sort of commitment from the federal government for a supplemental, you know, emergency aid package for Los Angeles's recovery. They have provided resources so far, but at some point in the next few months, that is going to run out. And unless Congress acts, you know, California is going to be on the hook for basically all of these additional things to help, you know, homeowners and business owners and, you know, other people in Los Angeles get back on their feet and rebuild. And so, you know, Governor Newsom and others, you know, other congressional representatives for the state are still working that in Washington, D.C., trying to get something moving. They're asking for tens of billions of dollars, but it's unclear right now when and if we'll get that money.
Leading up to tomorrow's May revise, the press conference that the governor is going to have, as a journalist, this isn't your first rodeo when it comes to the state budget. You've been a Capitol reporter for many years. How do you get a sense of where the state is financially, as well as where the governor's priorities are leaning ahead of this a press conference like this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are signals from the state all year long about how the finances are doing. We get these projections at various points, but then we're getting real-time data each month as well. And that can tell us, you know, are things above projections, below projections? Through March, we were actually slightly above projections, and then those tariffs hit and things were really thrown off track. So now, you know, now we're hearing that there could be a deficit perhaps of $10 billion or more that the state is planning for. So, you know, that's a very useful thing to track is sort of what are the expectations and how are things playing out in relation to that. In terms of priorities, I mean, you know, at this point, we've known Governor Newsom's agenda for six and a half years, and we've sort of seen how he really values, you know, being this person who sort of expands social services and access to a wider variety of Californians. You know, he has really built his legacy around being this person who made the quote unquote California for all. And so I think as we move into this difficult next phase, he's really going to want to protect that legacy, you know, and so other things may have to, you know, other things may face cuts or, you know, delays for programs so that he can really protect these core values that he's espoused as governor.
So given that you already have a pretty good understanding of where the state is, what are you looking to learn and understand during tomorrow's press conference? What are the big unknowns?
Well, I'd say the biggest one we want to know is that exact figure of what is the deficit that they're planning for. As I said, it's just an estimate. It's just a projection based on where they think the economy is headed. But they have a legal responsibility to balance the budget. And so whatever number it is that they come up with, they're going to have to work around that. And the bigger the number, the harder it's going to hit the state budget, which means the harder it's going to hit regular Californians. Because ultimately, the important thing to remember about this budget is it's a budget for you and me and all of us, right? And so, you know, if there's less resources available for the things that we need, that means that we're not getting the services that we expect or need from the government. So, you know, I'll be looking to see how are they trying to minimize the pain to Californians and what are the solutions they're coming up with to try and do that.
Well, the governor and the Department of Finance are one branch of government in the state. So how does that differ from the Legislative Analyst Office, the LAO, and their fiscal assessment of the state budget? Because it can be quite different.
Right. So this budget, which is due by the end of June so that we can start the next fiscal year in July, is going to be a negotiation between the governor and the legislature. And that means a negotiation of priorities. And it also means a negotiation over even what those estimates they use are. Because as you mentioned, there's the Department of Finance that's advising the governor and the Legislative Analyst Office that's advising the legislature. And they've got their own different ways of measuring the strength of the economy and what the state budget is going to look like next year. So they're going to have to agree on a number. Then they're going to have to agree on solutions for how to spend that money in a way that is considered balanced. And, you know, the legislature is going to have its own sort of priorities in response to what the governor puts forward tomorrow. A lot of times now, because the legislature is so, you know, dominated by Democrats and the governor is a Democrat, they're usually in line on the big picture, but there will be maybe, you know, some disagreements over specific programs and cuts, and there'll have to be a little bit of give and take each way in order to get to that final deal in about a month or a month and a half.
Do Republicans have any sway, political weight in a state like California during the budget process?
Not much anymore. They used to. I mean, California used to be a state where you needed a two-thirds vote of both houses of the legislature to pass a budget. And so you needed some sort of bipartisan compromise. But, you know, a little over a decade ago, the state switched to a system where you only need a simple majority to pass a budget. And now because you have a legislature where Democrats have a supermajority, they really don't need any input or any vote from Republicans. So the biggest impact that Republicans are usually able to make on the budget is, you know, in some of these sort of district asks where they get small amounts of money for projects in their communities to kind of help, you know, develop nonprofits or businesses or other kinds of projects in their areas.
Given that you've covered a lot of state budget years, some may think this is simply a revision. I mean, it is called the May revise a final budget, still weeks away in the summer. Why is this so significant?
Well, this is important because, you know, the way I look at it is the sort of opening salvo from the governor in this kind of, you know, crazy, tense negotiation that's about to happen over the next month. You know, the revise refers to the revised fiscal estimates that the state is using, and then the revised proposal that the governor is going to put forward in response to that. And then the legislature is going to come back and they're going to have to, you know, be at the bargaining table basically for the next few weeks in order to come up with this compromise. I mean, you know, you think about it, a month is a lot of time, and it's not a lot of time when you're talking about $300 billion. You're having to sift through a lot of little details within that. So a lot of times it comes down to the wire. And in fact, you know, some things even linger beyond the actual deadline. They might pass, you know, an overall, you know, agreement on the approach and still be working out some of the details of how they're going to spend certain pots of money into the summer.
There are a lot of groups who have a vested interest in the budget and need that funding. I would imagine negotiations in a year that is tight or where the state is in the red, negotiations are a lot more competitive, you know, compared to years when there's a surplus.
Yeah, I mean, competitive in a different way, because when there's a surplus, everybody wants, you know, their share of that. And now everybody's more on the defense, trying to prevent cuts to programs that they believe are essential. I think something you're going to hear is a lot of more liberal leaning advocacy groups asking for the state to, you know, increase taxes in some way to make up for that shortfall. I think that's, you know, something that's pretty much off the table for most people, especially the governor. He's really wanted to govern as somebody who didn't raise taxes. So even if you hear those calls, I would say it's not really a realistic proposal. And, you know, in that sense, advocates are really going to probably having to work more to sort of prevent cuts or minimize cuts to their preferred programs.
Alexei, thank you so much.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Alexei Kossoff is the Capitol reporter for the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters, and we've been previewing what California's May budget revise may include ahead of its release by Governor Gavin Newsom tomorrow. Up next, Sacramento State's $37 million budget deficit is leading to cuts at the university, including class reductions and layoffs. We'll learn how those cuts are impacting students, educators, and the university. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.